Hello and greetings, everyone. This is Sister Amen, and I am
Brother Tupos.
We are here once again to bring you an edification audio at the end of an awesome good... Did we have a nice quiet day, Sister Amen, just working on ministry?
Yeah, we didn't have to travel much.
Nope,
it was just across town. It was nice. I got a bunch of walking in, too.
Yep, we got nice. Walking. She got walking in. It threatened rain all day, so it really kind of squelched us going out and doing ministry, but we did get some things done.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we worked in a park. We had fellowship with Brother Kuo, and we have our Cranfest preach that is almost done and up. That'll be up later tonight.
Yep.
What'd you do, sister? You took a walk. You went to the Denton Bed food store, and you took a walk and did what?
I made a video of a walk. I've done it before, but I did it again. I made a video of a walk to the Denton Bed because I knew there was a few things there I wanted to go back and pick up. We were there the other day, got a couple things, and went
beautiful
back.
River
so
there.
I had a really nice walk there. Talked to a sister on the way, and then I took another walk to the park that we stayed in all day and talked to another sister. So
you went in the food
nice.
Denton Bed, and you witnessed to a lady?
I did, thank you. Yeah, I forgot about that. She said that her husband died a year ago, and I was able to share with her, give her the gospel, and talk about the two kingdoms, and so she listened for a little bit. That was nice. I gave her the hope.
Yeah, and that was awesome, because I walked in the store afterwards. I wanted to get one thing that Sister Amen didn't grab for me. I didn't message her, and I went to get one thing, and I followed up with the lady, and I said, oh, you're new here. I said, you're from the area. She told me where she's from in Illinois, and I said, she said, oh, my husband died. She said, I'm still reeling from that. It's been a year, such and such a day, so people do that. They tend to count the days and all that, focused on that death, and I said, my wife gave you a gospel card. I said, I'm sorry to hear about your husband. My wife gave you a gospel card. She goes, yeah, I got it right here. She reached in her pocket. I said, you read that. I said, that gives you great hope. And I said, if you'll surrender to the Lord, I said, he will lift you up. And I said, we're here to help you too. Send us an email sometime. She goes, I really appreciate that. So it was kind of neat. We got to follow up with her on that.
Yeah, what better gift can we give somebody than the hope, right?
Amen, amen.
Yeah, and then...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, when we're at the park...
Well, wait, can I do one thing before that?
Yeah.
So this morning, right before we left... our parking spot, our one brother was with his family testing van life waters, and he loves it. Him and his wife love it. And so we were on the phone talking to them. But right before that, I went to go walk into the store to get our ice for the day. And I get free ice there because we're customers and such. And I had noticed the night before a man sleeping in his car. And I thought, I hope I have a chance to meet him in the morning. Well, I'm walking. I always recommend everybody stay aware of your surroundings, whether you're a van dweller or you're just out in the world. Look at your surroundings. I saw a man trying to back up a big, long camper trailer, and he was all by himself, an older man. And so I stood behind the trailer, and I said, you're good. Come on, come on. He had to back it through cars. Well, guess what? He got right close to me, and I gave him a gospel card, and he thanked me, and I said, here, gospel good news. Check out the path to eternal life. He thanked me so much. I turned and I looked down. One of the cars he was trying to maneuver around was the guy that was sleeping in his car. He looked at me. I looked at him. I walked over to him. Turns out he's from Texas. He's just wandering through the country. His wife separated from him. And he said, there's no hope for their marriage. And I said, what are you doing out here? He goes, I don't know. I just took a long drive. He said, I'm going to be going back to Texas, getting my own place. And I said, any hope for your marriage? He said, nope. And I said, well, I said, let me give you some good news. So I gave him the gospel. I preached it to him. He said, I'm a Christian. And turns out he's a Lutheran, and I got to warn him about that. And he thanked me, and he went on his way. So that was awesome. I was aware of my surrounding, two perfect witnessing situations set up. And then right after that, we got on the phone with our brothers, and I was talking to him about the van dwelling life. And so I got to share that with him. So that was a blessing.
Lots
right off the bat.
Works.
Yeah, I got to witness to those two people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect timing. Imagine that. He wandering all the way from Texas, and he looked really sad, and his car was packed full of his belongings, hardly a place to just lean back and sleep, little car, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just drifting, and look at that, the Father puts him right in my path to get hope and truth. He admitted, he said, yeah, the church systems are pretty corrupt. I said, why do you belong to them? He said, well, it's a long story, and so he got the truth, and he's got our email, maybe he'll reach out someday.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What's on your mind, Sister Amen, today?
Well, as you're saying about that man needing the hope, I was thinking about that woman with her husband that I witnessed to needing the hope. What are the odds of two people at in the same time, yeah, or the same day. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Let me read this verse, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what those people need to do. They need to stop looking at people, stop looking at the dead. They need to look to the living Lord, and he will make their loads lighter and give them joy, peace, and rest if they'll repent and come via the gospel.
Yeah, the problem is a lot of people don't want to let it go.
Yeah, amen.
They can't let that go.
They want to hold on to the flesh.
Hopefully they do.
Yeah. So what else on your mind today, Sister Robin?
Well, we went to the park, and we were there working on getting the post up and stuff. And they're having like a fundraiser or something across the park there.
It was actually, can I tell you, it was dog trials they had where they run their dogs through trials.
Oh, okay. I couldn't even see.
Yeah, they run dogs through trials and time them.
Oh, okay. Well, a woman came driving by and we had gospel signs all over the van and she asked if we wanted some extra cupcakes. She had the front seat and the back loaded full of cupcakes. And so she offered us some.
A big tray.
It was. And I started to deny it and I could see. She kind of looked, I didn't want to hurt her feelings, so yep. I said, thank you, we would really appreciate that. So I gave her the gospel card, and I witnessed to her for just a little while, and I was kind of leaning in her car, and I could tell she wanted to get moving. So I was able to give her some truth,
yep.
And she agreed on truth being important.
Right.
And so that was awesome to be able to give out the truth just while we're sitting there minding our own business.
Yep, and we took a couple of the cupcakes and then we gave them to young brother Kuo because he definitely can spare more than us.
Yeah, we can have a little treat once in a while. But
how often do we get cupcakes and then get to witness to people? So that was pretty awesome.
Right, I was saying, I wonder if there'll ever be a pizza man going by.
That would be nice. That would be nice. Yeah, that was awesome. I wanted to talk about something encouraging. I have a brother who has been battling with, he's a newer believer, and he's been battling with his past and flesh issues. We all battle with flesh. And you know what's great? This young man is seeing how if he focuses on the Lord, puts the past away, focuses on his brother, and focuses on Scripture, that he can overcome. And he's learning to find joy and peace in the Lord, overcoming. How? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember, I don't care if you're new in the Lord or old. Mm-hmm. If you focus on the flesh, the world, you allow Satan to get in. It's going to stumble you, trip you up. You're going to fall. You're going to be in more and more sin. You must walk in the Spirit. You can't please God in the flesh. So he's learning that, and so that was pretty awesome to see him grow and to see him thrive and to see him finding victory. What a joyous thing.
Oh, I know. What's that verse? Is it Paul who says, "Oh, wretched flesh"?
Yep.
What does he say?
Romans 7. He talks about what a wretched man I am. Who can save me?
Yep. That one. Yeah. We all have that flesh we have to deal with. Yep. And oftentimes it raises up and we don't even see it, but somebody else might be able to see it. Yeah. So
with new believers, it's harder because the flesh rises up and they tend to focus on it because they don't have experience on how to either ignore it or put it down. And so everyone's flesh rises up, but most of us, as we've walked years and years, have learned to either push it down quickly or just ignore it and go, get out of here, and focus on the things of God. New believers tend to think, if I focus on my flesh, I can beat it. I'm focused on it, I can beat it. That's not how you beat your flesh. You starve it out and focus on the Lord.
Yeah, you notice as you grow in the Lord, you notice the signs
of
when your flesh is starting to come up against you, and you can avoid that a lot quicker.
Amen. So, yeah, he's getting victory, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I talked about another brother with his young family testing the waters of van life. They went out for their first night, I think I can say they're almost hooked. They love it.
Definitely.
They said they love the freedom. They said they love feeling like they're pilgrims and aliens in the world. They love being out in the world and because they do street ministry just like we do. And so I can tell that they are hooked into it. His wife likes it as much as he does. That's a huge plus. She's all willing for it.
Can
so
I put a word in there?
Yeah.
Simplicity.
Yeah.
That's a huge one right there.
I got a verse for you.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. I always struggle with the way that word is spelled. Subtlety. I always want to say subtlety.
Yeah.
It's subtlety, all right? Your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So we like our simplicity in Christ. We also like simplicity of our minds. Talk about, from a woman's standpoint, what is simplicity in a van life versus house or an apartment?
Instead of having a big house, which is not sinful at all, or even an apartment, in the van life or just small living, even if it's a little bit bigger than just a van, you cut back on how much cleaning you have to do. You cannot cook the way you do in a house.
Yep.
I mean, you could if you really wanted to, but I don't know why anybody would want to drag all that.
It'd be hard.
And so when you're in a house, it's okay. You can make everything by scratch, and you can make all kinds of things very inexpensively. But in the van life, you could still live inexpensive, eat healthy.
Simple.
But you cut down a lot of your time. You still spend enough time cooking and cleaning it up, but nothing, nowhere near like if you're in a house. So that means you have a lot more time.
For what?
To focus on the things of God, yep. Read the scriptures. Maybe just to be able to have more quiet time and less noise and busyness in your life to where you can just relax and be thankful to the Lord.
Or in their case, it's more street ministry. They have lots of fellowship with believers they like to do, and then edifying and training their children as they have more children. So, those are the things that take priority. God, the brother, and your family, your ministry, your study, and not domestic thing. Domestic things for a woman, we know, I get it, Titus 2, I know that's her role, but I don't want my wife to be burdened with Titus 2 so much that she can't be a strong believer and do ministry. I want that to be a minor, not a major in her life.
Right, so we need to think about Mary and Martha, and in fact, I have notes on doing like a little verse by verse on that to encourage us all. We want to be more Mary than we do Martha.
Amen, that's a good thought right there. So so we're excited for them, and we'll do everything we can to help them because we have some experience in van life.
I've already been given her ideas.
Help them on how to do that, so that's pretty awesome. They like this idea about being pilgrims. 1 Peter 2:10-11, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. Van life definitely gets you out in the world. Right now, we're sitting in a parking lot. We know we can stay here till tomorrow morning, and then we gotta leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps us know we are just passing it through, and we love our life. We love what the Lord's done, and we like this life. We don't love it. We like this life, but we love doing it for the Lord. We're here for a while. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Then we're somewhere else.
Right.
Then a season here. Then a season there. And that really kind of rounds out our ministry and keeps us focused on things above. So,
that's
pretty exciting.
Yeah.
It does. It does. It stretches us. Anything else, Sister Amin? You probably have a scripture verse to share?
Well, I had a concept that I think was going to go with what you were going to
talk
about.
Go for it.
I thought you were going to talk about moving down the road.
Yeah, okay. I was going to talk about it. I didn't know if you want to talk about yours first, but this will go perfect. So tomorrow, we're headed down to another town, and officially tomorrow, our journey south begins. we've been up here all summer, ministering all over the Midwest, and now officially, today we're at the park. The geese are lining up. They're flying in V formations. That's always our sign. We know fall's coming, winter's coming. So we are officially headed south, and young brother Kuo is coming with us, and we're going down to meet another brother. And so we are officially working our way south, and we actually have a couple weeks. We don't have to rush. So we're going to be doing some sign flying ministry.
Oh, yeah,
we're going to be doing some events. And we're going to go down and meet up with this other brother. So, this season has passed, and now we're in another season of heading south.
Right, and that goes along with, this is funny, because I had this, and then you kind of mentioned you were going to say that. I already had this.
God always does that. He gives me something, or gives you something, or you something, me something, and they match.
Right, Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, and a time to and a time to every purpose under heaven.
Amen.
And I was just thinking about, like Brother Tupo said, the geese.
Yeah.
Flying south.
Trees
and,
turning.
Yeah, all of it. And
the
cool
sun
air
shifting.
And everything. Yeah, shorter nights. Shorter days,
shorter
longer
days.
Nights. Yeah, because it's going to be more dark. And then I saw this later, Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. So we have a time and a season, and everything God put together has a time and a season, but what God does is going to be forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I love that.
The seasons, as I get older, I'm over 60 now, the seat. I can't believe I'm over 60. I don't, in my mind, I don't feel that old. My body does. But in my mind, I feel like I'm 30 still. It's pretty amazing how life has gone by. And the seasons help me remember every year that, you know, I tell these young men that they're in the spring of their life and I'm in the fall of my life. Me and Sister Amen are in the fall of our life. And these seasons always remind me that death is coming. If we don't live till the Lord returns, and maybe we'll never face death if we're here when the Lord returns. You never know. The tribulation could start. He's coming back at the end. We could be here, but chances are we're going to know physical death. These young men that we fellowship with, I always tell them, you have a good chance of never knowing physical death. But the seasons always remind me that it's coming. And that might seem depressing to some people, but not really. If you're looking forward to being with Christ and eternity, you realize it helps you to let go of this life more and more and more, not hold on to it. When I was younger, before I was in Christ, I tried to hold on to the world, hold on to everything, because I wanted it so much. Now, it's like, let it go, let it slip out, because it's corruptible, and I want to seek after that which is incorruptible.
Right, amen.
That makes sense, Sister Amen?
Yeah, it does. I'm looking forward to leaving this world behind.
Yeah, amen. And you had said that it seems right. It always seems right, doesn't it? The Lord puts it on our heart to go and do things, and we've done so many events this summer, met so many people, preached all over, met a young brother who's now traveling with us. I mean, we've had such a great summer, but it always seems right at the end of the season. It's like, it seems like it's time to go. And God puts it on both of our hearts to go. And now tomorrow will be our official time when we're headed south and working our way down, doing ministry on the way. So I'm excited about it.
That's awesome.
God's allowed us to do many things this summer. And good Lord willing, He'll let us do many more things this fall.
And we were looking for a specific picture that we were trying to get a hold of, you know, because we were talking about it. And as we were looking for it, paging through and seeing all the people and the places and the events and all the memories coming up of, I remember talking to that person. I really hope they're striving on, you know.
And all it's just the amazing. People we've met and witnessed to, all the glory of God. We couldn't do it without Him. All the thousands of people we've preached to, all the hundreds of events we've done. And just to look back at the pictures and see everything that we've done, it's just amazing what God has allowed us to do. It's kind of humbling.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of humbling that we get to do it. We hope we get to do it for a lot longer. Because we're not stopping.
Whatever His will. I'm not going to stop until He kills us.
I'm going to get a solar-powered wheelchair if I got to. Or something like that.
I like that idea.
we'll talk about that when that day comes.
Yeah, I'm sure you could rig one up.
Anything else, Sister Amen?
I do have a scripture verse.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I love the Word of God.
Me too. I would say if I were to go to the Psalms and pick one, and that's hard to do. This is way up at the top of my list. I'm not going to say my favorite, but it's way up at the top. I love this. If I had a big man's voice and I could stand on top of a mountain and shout this out, I would. The Lord reigneth. Oh, it's Psalm 97, 1-6. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. A fire go before Him, and burneth up His enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world, the earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Yeah, I wanted to shout that, but
yeah, the heavens declare His righteousness. Every time I see the sunset, or I see the geese flying, or I see the trees changing, I see the stars up in the sky. Yeah, the heavens and the creation.
What a mighty, awesome Creator.
Yeah, it gives me a chance to marvel, and then I marvel at the foolishness of man thinking it all evolved with no Creator. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and to see all that and think that they're a little God themselves.
Ready, Sister Amen, as we close out, I'm going to spring this on you.
Oh, is this a question?
I have a question for you, but you don't have to answer it till tomorrow.
Oh, hey, funny.
Guess what the question's going to be?
Well, I could be here all night guessing.
Since we're going south, tomorrow I'm going to ask you for your three favorite preaches we did this summer. And you can describe a little bit about them and why they're your favorite. So you can look back through our preach posts and you can share what were your three favorites. I know it's hard to find favorites, but pick the top three that you that we experienced together, and then you could maybe talk. You'll probably remember a certain person or a certain witnessing we did, and then we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Hey, I love that idea. Sound good? That's a good, you all right. Always come up with good
questions. Well, as we're headed south and we're closing one season, we're going to open another season up, so.
Yeah, nice.
I just have a scripture verse I want to close us out with. I want to share this. Exodus 36:2. You know, we all need wisdom as we walk through our lives, don't we, mm-hmm. saints? Moses called Bezalel and Eliab, I think that's how you say that, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. Even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. So I just kind of was looking up words on wisdom, and I like that, that God put wisdom in his hearts. So Jesus talks about in Matthew to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. So we need to go to God. James says that you don't have it because you haven't asked. Go to God, ask for wisdom, because we need wisdom for the days that's coming. We need wisdom to walk through our lives. We need wisdom to avoid our enemy, Satan, and other enemies in the culture. So think about wisdom and how you need it. Wisdom and knowledge, and then you apply it with experience, and you can walk through this world and glorify God a lot better than if you don't have wisdom or experience or knowledge. Experience, you can't really ask for and get. That's something you got to live out. But wisdom and knowledge can be put together, and with experience, then it's an amazing thing. So think about that, gaining wisdom. And God will give it to you. He's a good father if you ask.
Yeah, he will. And you have to ask without doubting.
Yes.
That's trusting exactly. him. Otherwise, you're like a double-minded
Amen.
Man.
Amen. So God can give us wisdom, saints, if we seek it. So I encourage you to seek after it.
We know that for a fact.
Anything else, Sister Roman?
Just love and sister hugs.
Yep.
And love to the brethren.
Always, always. And we hope that you're focused on whatever season you're in life. Could be new believer. Could be a seeker. Seekers, you need to repent and follow Christ. See the gospel at don'tperish.com. Let us know how we can help you in that. But whatever season you're in, you might be, somebody might be listening that's old and dying.
Yeah.
And I hope you know the Lord and you're hopeful for the next season, which is eternity to come. Make sure you know Christ, not man-made religion. And let us know. We'll encourage you. We'll, if you're a true believer and you want to be encouraged, we'll hold your arms up and we'll point you in the right direction and we'll pray for you and encourage you. So whatever season you're in, seek after Christ and the next season to come is always the best.
I was gonna say, just keep in mind the season you're in. If the Lord allows you to live, it's gonna change.
Yeah, amen.
Another season, then another.
Yep, amen. If you're seeking Him, I know every season's gonna be better because you're gonna grow in Him. Even if there's trials, tribulation, it's winter, it's cold, it's dark, whatever. But if you're seeking Christ, always new seasons in Him are the best because He's leading you home.
Yeah, you're one season closer to going home.
Amen, amen. Good. So that's our word to you today. Love you all. We gotta go jump on a gathering call with the brothers and sisters and glorify God, and we'll be putting out more truth on the Ecclesia gathering. Sister Amon's got that awesome video up at the top, and tomorrow we're headed down the road in that new season. Strive on in the season that you're in.
Amen. Praise God.
We love you all, and may God be praised in all our lives with our heart, soul, mind, and strength set for the kingdom of God.
Amen. I love that.